Isn't God good to us to allow you and me to sit down for a few moments each morning, or whatever the time may be in your home, and just enjoy a few minutes in the meditation, study of the Word of God? You know, you never get to the end of this blessed book. You can read a book of science and you master it, and you're through with it. You take a book on philosophy and master it, and then you're through with it. But when it comes to the Word of God, you can study it for 100 years, and you never get through with it. The more you read it, the more you see in it. The depths are absolutely, shall I say, they can't be measured. And the heights to which you can go in the truth of God, immeasurable. And then to know that we have got a real place in the heart of the Savior. Isn't it wonderful that the Spirit of God has given to us His Word to reveal to us His purpose and His plan? Now we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're dealing with the result of the walk in the unity of the Spirit. We're dealing with unity in service. And we found in verse 7 that every believer is gifted for a job. None are left out. God's given to every believer something to do in the church of Christ. And we each one must function in the place where God has put us. And then we have the source of our gifts are from the risen Savior, the one who put away our sin at the cross, who has burst the bands of the tomb and is exalted to God's right hand with all authority and all power. And now we're dealing here with the fact we were dealing with in the last lesson in verse 11, that God has given to the church gifted men. And allow me again to repeat these things. In chapter 12 of Romans and the 12th and 14th chapters of Corinthians and 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11, these are gifts to believers, all believers, the weakest believer as well as the mature believer. All believers have some gift. We had that in verse 7. But now in verse 11, these are gifted men. And as I said in our past lesson, someone as well said, the age of the church, starting with Pentecost, started with apostles and with prophets. And that the age ends with pastors and teachers. It's true we do the work of an evangelist. And again, may I urge upon you, dear people who belong to churches, do not expect your pastor to have all the gifts of the Spirit. He may be a good gospel preacher. He may be a teacher. He may be a pastor. He may be an administrator. But don't expect him to have everything. I know you want a man who's a good pulpiteer. He's got to be a good mixer. He's got to get along well with people. He's got to have the brains of a Socrates so he can handle all the counseling he has to do. He's got to have the compassion and tenderness of the apostles in hospital visitation or people in sorrow and so forth and so on. You expect him to be able to do the whole business. And as I repeat what I said in the last lesson, God has not given to any one man all of the gifts. But these are gifted men to the church to do specific tasks. Now, what is the purpose of the gifts in verses 12 to 16? The purpose of the gifts is for the increase and edification of the body. Now, this is what he says in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now you see, in verse 11, he's given to us these gifted men. And why? In verse 12 and 13, he's given these men to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministering, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My word, verses. Do you ever stop to think? Why has God given to the church pastors and evangelists and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministering. Now let's get down to New Testament methods. The job of a pastor and teacher and evangelist. The evangelist brings the gospel to the unsaved. But the whole thing is for the edification of the body of Christ and for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministering. You may not agree with this, but Paul is really saying that every Christian, that's you, my friend, that's me, we're members of the ministry. You see, we have put certain men on one side and we've said, these are ministers. These are men of the ministry. The Bible doesn't say that. It's true they're ministers. But all believers are ministers. And our job is to prepare you, to fit you for the work of the ministry. And I want to say one of the reasons why the Church of Christ doesn't grow more than it does because the people in the pews, in their seats, do not do their job. You trust a preacher. You say, well, we pay him to do it. Well, God forbid that we should be paid to do anything. You'll find that most men in the ministry are doing it because of their love for the Savior, not for what you give them. I want to tell you very frankly, and I speak from experience, it's much easier to run a machine shop filled with men than it is to be the pastor of a church where everybody's got a chip on their shoulder, where they sit down and expect you to do the whole business. I want to tell you, my friends, very frankly, that if you claim to be a Christian, you've got a special place in the body of Christ, and when you do not function, you hinder the increase of the body and you hinder the edification of the body. You say, but I'm the weakest of God's people. All right, I'll take your word for it. You're the weakest of God's people. If you are, you still belong to the body of Christ and you still have a job to do and a place to function. And our job as pastors and teachers is to prepare you, to fit you for the work of the ministry. That is, to edify you, to build you up in the faith, in the doctrines of the Church of Christ so that you'll be able to minister to somebody else, to minister to the unsaved and your witness so that you'll know what the gospel is. Well, how you can reach them. Also, how you can help other Christians. There are many Christians who are weak. Some stumble along, and you've got a job to help them. Don't reach them with a club. Don't club the people of God, but take them and lead them. Direct them. If they fall, pick them up. Restore them in the spirit of meekness, says the Apostle Paul to the Galatian church, chapter 6, the first verse, when he said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, or if a brother be out of joint, for that's what it means, if a brother be out of joint, you who claim to be spiritual, then you restore that one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Lest thou also get out of joint, lest thou also be tempted. I say this because my heart is open, and sometimes very burdened for the fact that we Christians do not do the job God expects us to do. We're too content to sit down and do nothing. You know, it's terrible to be indifferent. But there's one thing that's worse than that, and that is when a man or a woman is satisfied to be indifferent. And I'm sorry to say too many professing Christians are perfectly satisfied in their indifference. And so many are asleep. And one is reminded of the words of our Savior in Mark 13 when he said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch. Don't fall asleep. For in an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. So God has given to the church, he's gifted men for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Let me just stop here a minute. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. You'll notice the chapter starts in verse 3, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now he says that we are to minister to each other for edification till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You see that today we switch that round. We say, well, I can have fellowship. I'll be in the unity of the Spirit with the ones who believe just the way I believe. And the tragedy is that most Christians don't know what they believe. I know. I'm on the road every once in a while and I meet Christians and I say, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe just what our church believes. I believe just what my pastor believes. Well, I said, what do they believe? What do you believe? What does your church believe? And their answer was, well, you better go and hear them. They did not, well, I'll say they could not give a reason for the hope within them. They had not been, shall I say, fed and built up and established in the Word of God. Somewhere along the line, somebody has failed. And don't put all the blame on the preacher. He may be just so faithful and brokenhearted because people do not walk in the truth and don't know the truth. God grant that you and I will be delivered from the cold indifference of these days and come to know something of our relationship to Christ and our relationship to each other, so that we'll be used of God to edify, to build up, to establish other Christians. And then when they fail God, you'll be able to come with the Word of God and lead them back into a place of real fellowship with Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that is, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You remember he prayed in chapter 3 that we might come, be filled unto all the fullness of God. The yearning of the apostle's heart, and I believe the yearning of Christ's heart, that every believer should be filled unto all the fullness of God. This is where we are to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to become one in truth, one in belief, one in edifying each other, till we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ. In other words, to be no longer babes in Christ, but to be men and women who be able to give a reason for the hope within them. Now may the Lord take these few words and burn them in your heart. Your responsibility for edifying every other Christian. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.